Welcome back to the show. This week we are talking boundaries, conflict, and the myth of relationship longevity without depth. Boundaries, yay, everybody's favorite topic. So first I want to say that probably like many of you listening, boundaries have been really confusing, elusive, and awkward for me. If I'm being completely honest, they were really nothing more than a word that held very little meaning for me for a big portion of my life. I just really didn't give them much thought or know how important they are. And the truth is that boundaries impact pretty much every area of our lives, from physical to mental to financial, emotional, energetic. And this conversation is pretty nuanced, and I'm really just starting to scratch the surface. So, welcome. What I will say is that once we begin to develop our boundaries in one area, it usually becomes easier to see the other areas that could also use our attention. So I'm going to start by talking a bit about the semantics of boundaries and why they are important. Our boundaries contain us. They hold our experiences. They help us to differentiate ourselves from someone else. They facilitate connection, and they also tell us like when we have to protect ourselves and also when we have to respond to something that is happening. Boundaries are also tied into our nervous system responses, like our fight and flight. And they show up and can show up like a reflex. For example, when someone comes too close into our space, if we're feeling uncomfortable, we will automatically either start backing up or even put our hands out in front of us to maintain our personal boundary. But they are also flexible given the context we are in. Like, for example, if we're on a crowded bus, we can allow people to be right up next to us when the situation calls for it. So boundaries can also be ruptured. And when this happens, it affects our connection to the world. Boundary ruptures can happen through, of course, abuse of any kind, surgeries, being bullied, marginalization, and the list goes on and on. And these boundary ruptures can result in many things. One of them is that our sensory systems can become highly sensitized, meaning, you know, sounds can be overwhelming and distracting to the point of pain. This is something that I experienced personally for such a long time. A rupture can also cause us to freeze. Physical touch can become painful or too much, and we can get activated by smells, and even our speech and our sight can be impacted. Sometimes we become so sensitive we have to shut ourselves off from connection because the world has become too unsafe. We can also have leaky boundaries where we tell everyone yes, even when we want to say no. We can merge with others, meaning instead of being with them, we take on their pain. And this was me for such a long time. I could not tell the difference between what was mine or what was someone else's. It was just all me and all my pain. I was a highly sensitive person who identified as an empath, and what I was really experiencing was the result of a massive boundary rupture that happened earlier in my childhood. And I also wasn't consciously connected to the somatic whispers my body was trying to share with me about my boundaries. I only felt overwhelmed. But the good news is we can totally begin to get to know ourselves through our body's boundaries. And from there, we can develop an intimate partnership with who we are as whole beings. And our bodies are always communicating our boundaries. And they do this through the language of sensation. Constriction, safety, tiredness, tension, exhaustion, overwhelm. They're always communicating moment to moment how safe our body actually feels expressing what it needs. And one way we can begin to form a relationship with the boundaries in our body is by noticing how our body reacts when we're sharing space with others. So the next time you're with someone else, begin to notice what you are feeling in your body. Do you get sleepy while they talk? Do you find yourself wanting to escape the conversation? Or do you want to move in closer? Do you feel relaxed, or is there tension arising via headache, neck tension, shoulder tightness, chest constriction? Are you pissed off? If you can just start to notice whatever is coming up for you when you're with someone else. And then you can take it even a step further. You can start to get curious. What is this constriction telling me that I need? What is this constriction telling me that I want? How does this tension want to move me? Do I want to go away or toward the situation? And it's a good thing to point out that all of these feelings, emotions, and sensations are just giving us information about what we need moment to moment. It is the body's way of protecting itself. And, you know, protection doesn't always mean we are under threat. Sometimes it just means, oh, shit, I need some water. Or, oh, I need to go have a nap instead of meeting a friend for tea. Or, oh, this conversation is starting to overwhelm me and I need to take some space from it. So tending to our own boundaries and healing our connection to them has so little to do with the other person and everything to do with our awareness of them. Otherwise, we can become so focused on what the other person is doing wrong and we lose our somatic experience. So we get to develop a whole new relationship with our body, our needs, and our true self. Over time, what that begins to mean is that we get to expand on our own self-connection, depth, and safety that used to come from other people. How empowering. For those of you wishing to dive into the world of somatic healing and get a taste of what it's like to discover the wisdom of your body, I'm offering $100 off my signature course, Reclaiming Resilience, to the listeners of this episode. It is a self-paced 5-week course that teaches you how to be with big emotions and sensations. It expands your capacity for more joy, more love, and more pleasure, while you also learn how to access your boundaries, intuition, and build safety within your body. Essentially, you'll be learning how to harness the power of your nervous system and welcome in more clarity, authentic communication, and fulfilling relationships. In the program, we are changing the way that we perceive ourselves, our patterns, and our limiting beliefs, as well as finding our unique voice. Use the code all caps feel good at checkout. And for those of you who are seeking one-on-one support, I also offer coaching and therapy packages and one-on-one sessions. I'll pop all of that information in the show notes. And now let's get back to the show. Okay, so how does this tie into setting boundaries with others? Well, before we can set other boundaries with others, we need to know where they end and where we begin. And the easiest way to do this is by differentiating ourselves through our physical body. For those of us who have trouble connecting with our bodies, we can literally take a few moments each day just to feel the contours of our skin. And what I mean by that is just taking your hands and running them over your body, just feeling what is inside and what is outside. And again, the next time you're in conversation with someone and begin to feel yourself fading, dissociating, or just not paying attention, you can bring your awareness back to your body by touching or squeezing it. This practice was so helpful for me. Oftentimes, we can become so disconnected to our boundaries and our sense of self that we allow others to choose our boundaries for us. By never stating our preferences or by feeling like our boundaries are unimportant. This is especially true if we grew up in a home where boundaries were abused, not respected, or ignored. And then an interesting thing can happen. Because we've had non-existent boundaries for others, or others were always telling us who we should be or what we should be doing, we begin to think that others should just know us without us having to tell them what we want, need, or stating our preference. Our boundaries can become a performance of what we think others need from us instead of our own inherent knowing. Have you ever had times like this in your intimate partnerships or friendships? I mean, most relationships are intimate if we allow them to go there, irregardless if they're with our partners or our friends. You know, have you ever heard yourself saying, like, they should just know I'm on my cycle, so my mood is off? Or I've just been at work all day, so they should give me some time to land when I arrive home. Or how about this one? They should know I need a hug because, for God's sake, can't they see the look on my face? So we can say, or we can be feeling all of these things and then not tell others that we're feeling these things. One moment sticks out in my mind, and it was when I was working a regular 9-to-5 in the city, and I expected that dinner would be made for me when I got home. I didn't actually tell my husband this. I just expected he would know that I've had a long day at work and an equally long commute, so surely this would be done. Well, when I got home and there was no dinner, I made up this entire story in my head about how he didn't love or appreciate me because he should have known. And all he kept saying was, well, if you would have told me you were hungry and needed dinner ready, I would have known and done my best to get it done for you. Because the truth is that people want to be there for us most of the time, and people do not know unless we tell them. If we care for the relationship, we need to communicate our needs so that people can choose to go deeper with us or not. So boundaries, when it comes to any relationship, are also not the silent treatment, but especially in intimate partnerships. Expecting people should know when we are upset with them is not a form of communication. It is a form of abandonment. And usually we are taught this kind of behavior from observing it in others or having it done to us. And so there are times when it's obviously appropriate to cut people off and not talk to them, but that is not what I'm speaking to here. I'm speaking to communicating when our feelings are hurt or when someone else does something that doesn't feel so good. If we choose to stay silent and not let them know how we are feeling, they'll never know and never have a chance to change. And so it wasn't until my mid-30s that I began to realize that a boundary is an expression of a need. Boundaries are love. Boundaries are tools for clear communication. If I didn't share with people how I wanted to be treated and what my preferences are, they will just treat me based on their assumptions of how they think I want to be treated, assumptions about what I like or dislike. And then I began to learn that setting boundaries allowed people to get to know the real me while also made it safe for them to share bigger pieces of themselves with me. I also began to realize that people actually appreciate directness, and so do I. It means I don't have to play the guessing game because the guessing game sucks. I don't have to make assumptions and I don't have to take things so personally. Boundaries give people direct instructions, which reduces so many communication breakdowns, unhappy relationships, and painful resentment. Boundaries create a space in which we feel safe regardless of what others choose to do with our requests. Which kind of leads into my next thought. The more honest we get in our relationships will sometimes lead to more struggle because we are allowing our true needs to be seen and allowing others to decide what they have space for. So even if a relationship ends, within that, there's an opening of self-honoring. And so something else starts to become fertile and grow, which is the relationship that we have with ourselves. It is the natural order of things. Things will die to create space for more life. So when we have agency and we're able to express it, we can naturally disturb the status quo. Again, some things grow when they are disturbed and some things don't. When we start speaking from a place of what is real and alive for us, first it can feel awkward and really, really tender, especially if it involves potentially hurting someone we love. And sometimes we are so used to caretaking for others that we'd rather just break our boundaries than to see them hurt. But we can also choose to break our own boundaries consciously, depending on the circumstance. But first, we want to get to a point where it isn't so automatic. And it is also an expansive place to grow into. It starts to feel settling in profound ways. It can become more easeful. And again, this idea of it gives others permission to do the same. It's a place of non-reaction, a conscious place that has the ability to say, I'm really tired now as we talk about this. Can we please take a break or stop talking right now? Which also equates to building capacity to be left by someone and still be okay, to ride the waves of relationship discomfort, to know that we made the right decision for ourselves, to understand that we acted from a place of self-love, self-awareness, and self-agency. And I also want to say that there are times when breaking our boundaries is just what we need to do. An example could be if we are a caretaker to someone or children who need us, or if we are asked to work late to meet a deadline. What we do in between those moments can still repair the rupture of breaking our own boundaries. What I mean by that is allowing the body to do what it wanted to do when we are alone. So later on, perhaps in the day or later on in that week, allowing your body to experience what it wanted to do instead that didn't happen that day. And the simplest way to do this is to think about the thing that you didn't want to do but still had to do. See if there is a place in your body that emerges or a feeling that comes up, and stay present to see what it needs now. What may show up is that maybe you need a hug, a self-hug, a nap, or maybe you're feeling angry and want to squeeze a pillow. Maybe you just needed the gentle acknowledgement of, yeah, wow, I was tired and I needed to show up anyway. So I'm just going to allow my body to lay down. So when we numb out in our relationships, we actually can't feel our boundaries, and therefore we can't feel what we actually need. And then our minds and fears of change can take over and say, you know, we're actually enjoying ourselves, or that we should stay for the sake of the relationship, or we live for a future that never actually arrives, robbing ourselves of our joy and our freedom. And another thing I want to mention with boundaries, you so often hear of extremes. It's like either I have no boundaries or I am like a rude jerk to everyone. And that is just so far from the truth. There can be this middle area that is connected, kind, and tender. We can state our boundaries without being jerks. And I mean, sometimes, again, the situation may call for a harsher tone, but we're just teaching someone about us. And then we get to see if they have the capacity to meet us where they are or where we are. And it's really vulnerable to be clear about our needs, our desires, and our boundaries. We bypass our boundaries for fear of what might happen or fear of how others might react. To set boundaries means that, yep, my boundaries may cause others to be disappointed. Creating boundaries is also about becoming our own best friends, creating a relationship of love and admiration for our authentic selves. The reason that this is so important is because when someone doesn't match the behavior that we offer ourselves, we'll know and we'll be able to separate the two and no longer make ourselves available for it. We'll see the red flag and get out of there. And then when we have our own back and people come at us with all of their thoughts and ideas about what we should be doing, instead of putting so much value on their opinions of us, we can find the answers within ourselves because we've taken the time to cultivate this relationship with the depth of who we are. So this journey is really about coming to a point in time where we have to start to differentiate between who we are and who we were taught to be. And of course, that often comes with a great deal of grief and tenderness. Damn, all those years we attracted unavailable people or said yes to things we hated or stayed in dull relationships for too long for the sake of longevity. When our boundaries are intact and when we know ourselves, we save so much time and pain. When we are solid enough within our own self-concept to have these truthful and hard conversations with the people we love, we are essentially saying we no longer want to live in our masks. We no longer want to be the people we were taught to be, but to step into who we are. We don't want to continue to be dependent on all the ways that society has molded us. We are also saying that we don't want our partners to do that anymore either. We can both decide to take off our masks and show our hearts because pretending is exhausting. Saying yes all the time is exhausting. Going with the flow becomes exhausting. Giving absolutely everything until we are depleted in a relationship is exhausting, not to mention dysregulating. So this is where boundaries, self-inquiry, and all of those things come into play. And here is an unpopular truth. We develop intimacy through conflict. And sometimes that means we are now faced with either the fracturing of a relationship or the deepening of it. And not all relationships are going to survive that moment. We want to move into a state where no one is having to abandon themselves for the relationship to survive. We want to move into a place where we celebrate relational depth, love, connection, and happiness instead of just longevity and anniversaries. Because honestly, who gives a shit about how long we've been together if the relationship container has sucked the marrow from our bones, leaving us resentful and joyless? We think our relationships are supposed to last forever, so we avoid conversations that could potentially fracture it to keep the status. And because we avoid it, we never deepen our relationships. And so we end up celebrating the wrong damn thing. There's no shaming here. We do this because we have been led by a societal example. Longevity equals success. We were committed, and so everything worked out, which is total bullshit. Commitment is only one piece of the puzzle. Part of growing up is a massive unlearning process so that we don't allow our relationships to make us sick, unhappy, unfulfilled, and depressed. And we also stay in relationships because we fear we will be judged if we leave them. And none of this celebrates relationship freedom. None of it celebrates truth. It just continues cycles of abuse, self-abandonment, and imprisonment. Not to mention, it's hard to acknowledge someone else's truth when we don't know our own or are afraid of our own. When we start to bring truth to the surface, then real actual love can emerge because real love is freedom. There is no gold star for staying in a relationship that constantly undermines our self-worth. There is no gold star for staying in a relationship that is leaving us feeling unsafe, unloved, and unseen. And this comes back to a foundational idea of people can have their own separate truths. Both can coexist and both can get curious. And in that curiosity of hearing my partner's or my friend's truth, I am now open to seeing things differently. And that doesn't make me wrong or my needs wrong, but it actually deepens intimacy to be able to hold two truths. Because now the container of the relationship is not about being right, it's about being seen. And that comes with a higher level of self-responsibility and learning how to be emotionally fluent. We're terrified of having conversations because they create uncertainty and we don't like that. I know I don't like it. I'm getting better at it. I think it was Gabor Mate who said we have these fundamental basic needs, which are self-expression and authenticity. But when self-expression and authenticity threaten belonging, belonging usually wins. Our tribal instinct sometimes gets the better of us even when things aren't working. What we're going for here is relational freedom, intimacy, respect, growth, depth, instead of codependency, which essentially means self-abandonment in order to be connected. Fuck all that. So instead of making being connected to you, the family, or whoever it is more important than being connected to ourselves, we get to nurture ourselves, our inner knowing, our gifts, and expand them within our relationships. We want each person to be celebrated and invited to pursue their deepest passions and desires, and also their full self-expression. So, I wanted to leave you with a few final thoughts. Conflict in relationship offers the opportunity to either deepen intimacy or not. Knowing our boundaries makes everything easier, even when it seems as though things are falling apart. In reality, our boundaries are guiding us to the people, places, and environments that honor our highest good and joy. They're making sure that the people that choose to stay in our lives know, love, and respect us. So yay, boundaries. And that is all for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this chat. If you found it helpful, please share it with your peeps. So until next week, bye for now.